Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Well, welcome to the Duff, Quarters and Skeeter podcast. Brought to you by Tab Touch. Please gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858. Now, I don't want to disturb anyone, but we've got a incident happening as we speak. Mark Duffield, it's an OJ Simpson-style chase going on. The last reports were he's running late. He was last seen going past the Herdsman Hotel. Now, Skeet.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times.
You might just pop in.
Yeah, well, if you do pop in there, you mightn't come out because I've been there. It's different characters in there and some different movements with people wearing some clothes, some not many.
I think I was asked to leave there once, which is saying something when it's the Herdy. But look, we wish you all the best. Look, we'll keep you updated. He is on his way in here. So he will make, he's making it a dash here, but we're just going to see, I believe there's a police convoy, Josh?
Yeah, we have some live shots right now, so you can hear that over the top. So Duff, stay with it and the escort will get you here soon.
Some of the most crisp humour I've heard on a podcast in many, many
Shut
years.
Shut up, Skate. From someone that doesn't rock up to a bloody commentary. Like
well, I'm happy to come back for that.
House meeting, boys. Come on, let's just bring it down a bit. So listen, the big talk this morning, we still haven't got round 12 fixtures. The AFL are working their way through that. Announcement in Vic this morning, a couple of cases, nothing. It's not too bad in Victoria, but there are fears that the 7-day lockdown, which I think is due to finish on Thursday, 11:59 p.m., is going to be extended. Some big voices in Victoria, Jeff Kennett's one of them, saying he fears that it will be extended. I'm hearing 3 weeks. So what that is going to do is, so right as we speak, New South Wales is the only state that will allow Victorians in without any sort of exemption. So this is what's happening as we speak. So we know what's happening here. We know the Western Bulldogs are coming here Saturday to play Frio on Sunday at Optus Stadium. We know the Eagles are going to fly out to Sydney to play Carlton at the SCG on Sunday. And we know, very sad for Victoria to lose this game, and we hope things improve. But if it's not Victoria, next best place is here. We know we've got Dreamtime on the Swan here on Saturday night. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now the AFL is in talks. They're trying to get an exemption from the Queensland government to get the St Kilda Sydney game to be played in Cairns. Now, if that doesn't happen, it will be played at the SCG, and I believe then St Kilda will then go to Cairns to play Adelaide in round 13. Melbourne-Brisbane Friday night game was to be in Alice Springs. Melbourne was due to make $800,000 from that, so it's a disappointing result from them. That is likely to be at Giant Stadium. And the other scenario is Collingwood v Adelaide in South Australia. So the AFL desperately negotiating with the SA government to try and get an exemption for Collingwood to fly in. The other business that's hovering over it all is the possibility of hubs again. Now, we're told that there's a lot of AFL players who are uneasy about this, given that there were problems in the hubs last year. We know that there were problems with, you know, relationship breakdowns and what have you. They don't necessarily want to go into hubs, where we believe that if they do, there will be some high profile players from some high profile clubs, and not just at the pointy end of the table. Sorry, at the bottom end of the table, at the pointy end of the table, who are reluctant to go into hubs. So they will leave the hub environment if that happens. So I don't envy the AFL, Skeet. That's where we're at. We expect fixtures to be announced later today. But we've just got to wait and see what they can come up with.
Round 12 yet hasn't been released by the AFL, and I guess in many ways we're in a more parlous position in 2021 with regards to getting this season completed than last year, because we went into a hub scenario pretty early. We know that that caused some issues, but at least what we had was round one finished and then the drama unfolded. The AFL had some time to, I guess, plan, given the hiatus between round one and the resumption. This has come out of the blue to a large degree, and it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better. It could be 3 weeks before you can play footy in Victoria. We know that the Queen's birthday match between Melbourne and Collingwood, also another big money spinner. That is all on the table as being up in the air. So, yeah, there's some clubs in Victoria that, to be quite frank, don't know what their next step will be in terms of travel, opposition, and a lot of confusion. And this just brings into sharp focus what we knew all along, that there was going to be a couple of hiccups and the bye situation, the end of year bye before the finals. I think everything now off the table as far as the AFL is concerned with regards to getting us to round 23 and beyond.
Yeah, look, what's your view on players exiting the hubs, making that stand? Do you think it's their job to remain there and make sure the season gets underway?
Oh, look, I think it's easy to sit on the outside and say, look, just toughen up, do the hub and go forward, which it's a perfectly natural situation for someone to suggest that. The only thing I can say, having done 14 days quarantine, albeit at home and not in a hotel, I have a greater appreciation for people who have had to hub or certainly quarantine in a hotel for 14 days. At the start of the pandemic, I thought, just toughen up. 14. It's not as easy as what you think with a young family. There are lots of complications with it. So, yes, everyone would love players to go in and just guts it out, but there are circumstances, for instance, Tim Kelly's family with the issues that his children have. It's not all size fits all.
I don't begrudge any player leaving a hub and saying, I can't do this. I think that's their entitlement and they shouldn't be penalised for making that choice. However, I do think the season should go ahead. The AFL should find a way, and there'll be plenty of players who will. You know, the single blokes, I guess it won't affect as much. So there'll be plenty of footballers that may give an opportunity to someone further down the list. Maybe the AFL will have to do a bit of topping up. I mean, these are all scenarios we might have to look at if that's the case, if that comes to bear that there is it's not going to be a mass exodus of players, but there is going to be some form of withdrawal if we go into hubs. I think the AFL has it as its absolute last resort. However, wasn't that the case last year?
Absolutely. And you talk about hubs and given the border restrictions, at this stage, it seems the most likely and possibly only place that could accommodate this with any degree of freedom is New South Wales. So Sydney, if that comes to pass, they've got two venues there, Giant Stadium, the SCG, that can facilitate matches just as Queensland does with the Gabba and Metricon. Mm. So, look, this is the last case scenario that we want to see employed, but it's looming as an option the deeper this goes in Victoria. And you can just feel the angst coming out of your state quarters, and you can understand the frustration and the vaccinations and the rollout of quarantine. All that has become such a burden for that state and their people. Hopefully we can keep the footy going because that's so important to them and I guess that the well-being of so many people.
Well, my father was due to come over here in about 2 weeks for my birthday. Dad's 87 and that's looking highly unlikely now. Now, he will get over here, so it's not the end of the world. But, you know, there are a lot of people in that. I haven't seen Dad for some time, you know. So there's a lot of heartache out there over this. I guess the one – it's not a silver lining by any stretch of the imagination. But hang on a sec. Hang on. Update on Mark Duffield. He has just entered the building. We believe the police escort has just left him at the door. He's in now. He's here.
You print blokes, always running late, you print blokes, always finding a way to get this sort of
now, misdirected. I was here before you arrived, Skeet, and I bought a packet of lolly snakes. Josh, have you noted?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Welcome aboard, Duff.
Hello, guys. Apologies for being late. There was roadworks on the Forest Highway.
Yeah, Highway? We were speculating that you might have stopped in the Herdy for a quick one. Did that happen?
No.
Anyway, we were, in a nutshell, we're discussing the position of the AFL season with the possibility of hubs and where this season's going to go. Jeff Kennett is one high-profile president that's come out and has put a real question mark against where this season is going to end up. And in many ways, the AFL is in a more tricky situation than they were 12 months ago.
Yeah, it was always going to be the case, I think, wasn't it? Because whereas last year the course was set for them and they had no choice, and so basically they followed the only course they could follow. This year we were always going to be at the mercy of were there going to be outbreaks and how was that going to disrupt and derail the season. I would have thought that given we've got half the season played, I would have thought we're in a stronger position. It may be that, you know, at some point we have to pause, but right now we can get to round 12 and try and get that away. And then there's buys. There's ways they can buy time, I would have thought.
And also, bear in mind, I think it was October 20 or thereabouts last year we had the grand final. It's not, I mean, don't want this, but it's not beyond the realms that we can slip into there October
wriggle,
again.
There is some wriggle room there.
I think the worry is the variant of the virus that's taken root in Victoria appears to be considerably more contagious than the ones we've seen. I mean, the fact that they were so quick to go into lockdown and the fact we're still getting cases every day, and there was a, you know, what was there today? There's
four or five.
Yeah, and then there was a considerable number yesterday as well. So you would hope that they dry up within a week and we can start to return to normality. But it really is a warning shot, I think, that maybe the Indian variants, the UK variant, and also the South African variants are a bit different. And therefore, if they get there, if they get to your community, then you've got a problem.
So, Duff, you and I have had the jab, and Skeet joins our illustrious group
today.
In
about 2 hours, yeah. So I've just been given advice by my mum, who's had the AstraZeneca, that you need an ice pack on your arm, and people have said you feel sore and tight afterwards. Duff's said he was a bit doughy last week.
Quarters was a bit sore.
So yeah. Just get in there and get it done without being silly about it.
And when I say doughy, had sort of like one of those background headaches and had a few aches and pains in the joint. And that was it. You certainly wouldn't have described me as sick.
No, but you're over 50, and so those things can happen.
I think the benefits
natural soreness
far outride all of that stuff. So go and get a jab if you can.
Absolutely.
General soreness. Yes.
Hamstring awareness.
Hamstring awareness. Just quickly, the Eagles look like they may participate in the draft tomorrow. In fact, that's looking more and more likely. Dockers have said no. Happy or content with what each club is looking at there?
I don't mind. I don't mind what Fremantle's doing. They kind of shied away from it previously. And the one time they did do it, I think, was with Dylan O'Reilly, that didn't really work out that well for them. West Coast may be trying to address specific needs, and I suspect either small forward or midfielder.
So Jared Garland had his first run at the weekend. Probably needs to trim up a little bit, I'd suggest.
I don't see the point with Jared Garland. He's had two goes at it. I thought he was a little bit fortunate to get the second go at Carlton after his play at Gold Coast. He probably, if Jared Garland is going to get another go at it, to me, West Coast, run him around in your waffle team, see how he goes in the second half of the year, and then have a look at him as a rookie list at the end of the year. Greg Clark.
Seen a bit of him this year. I was about to say him and Matty Parker. I'm inclined to think, just from exposed form this year, big-bodied midfielder. I think that, and again, it's coming from a long way back. The waffle to the AFL, I don't think we should be under any illusions that, you know, the Marlon Pickett story is a completely rare occurrence. But Greg Clark, I think, given the Eagles' problems with Tim Kelly and Elliot Yeo still finding his way back, Luke Shuey still a few weeks away, he's one player that I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gets picked up, just from what I've seen him play for Subiaco this year. He's been terrific.
So if West Coast is looking for a now, right? So let's find something. Massive midfield issues, massive ongoing injury concerns, trying to stay in contention for this year. Everyone knows that Jai Bolton is probably the preeminent player in the waffle. He's got a big, strong body. He's a good runner. He's got good skills. There are a lot of things
that for the now. How old is Jai Bolton? I mean, it's for the
about
now.
27.
So we're not too worried about the age, are we?
I'll stick my hand up and say I think he's kicking. He's probably an area of his game that is probably not going to, and his pace, which we know players have certainly overcome that. But I'm just not sure about his disposal at times, and that whether that's been a knock on his game. Not so sure.
Okay.
But I think Clark, to me, and again, I've seen a bit of Subi this year. I hope he gets a look. And from there, it's in the lap of the gods.
Well, Skeet, you do the waffle. Who are the other ones that, let's say, small forward, mid, ready to go for West Coast?
Well, Matt Parker's the obvious one because he's been in the system for a couple of years. You could say a little bit stiff last season with St Kilda. They had to trim everywhere as clubs had to. My mail is that he's matured a fair bit. We know he's got skill. We know he's got talent. He's got the body that can play forward, can play mid. So the two that I look at and think from what I've seen, and there's going to be many others in the VFL and the SANFL, but I'm thinking Greg Clark and Matt Parker is the two obvious ones for me. If they want, I mean, it's been mentioned Corey Galt, maybe the Gold Coast. He's 28 or thereabouts. Outside, it really is line ball for a lot of these players, though, it has to be honest.
Yeah, Galt, Stranatica, Strom, I'm told, were the three that Gold Coast were looking at. There was also a ruckman from South Australia. Galt is obviously the genuine ruck out of those. Stranatica's got the genuine frame and the right height, and also has age on his side. So they, if they drafted Stranatica, there's a chance that he comes on stream. I think there was a feeling from some at Fremantle, a bit surprised he didn't get the extra year, but they probably thought he didn't get the extra year too because they felt he could have worked a little bit harder. You wouldn't call him lazy or anything like that, but maybe there was a little bit more in the tank he hadn't been prepared to explore. So maybe he's learnt, maybe he's more mature.
And sometimes, Duff and Quarters, sometimes, let's be honest, you're not good enough to get to that next level on a regular basis. Not saying that's the case with Luke Stranatica, but sometimes you're a very good waffle player. There's no shame in that. Whether he has,
I would have loved to have been a very good
exactly, waffle player. Absolutely. So you know, this is not a knock on any of these waffle players. It's just that so many names thrown up, and we know that blokes like Brady Gray and Brandon Matera are nominating. But let's be honest, there's going to be very limited opportunities for those types of players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boys, early days. Give me a crowd for Saturday night Dreamtime on the Swan.
Well, Mike McKenna has come out and he goes a bit on corporate sales, and so that's a good gauge. Off the back of that, bit of rain forecast, I'd be really disappointed if we didn't have 40,000 plus.
Yeah, I think 40. I spoke to Trevor Nisbet late last week and we were talking about, you know, prospects of these games. He thought north of 30 at that point.
Yeah. I'm hoping for, I think 40 plus. I agree. I think anything less than 40, given I think the ticketing is pretty reasonable. $70 for a family, $35 for an adult, $12 for kids. I think it's pretty reasonable. $70 for a family. I think, given where the two clubs are at the moment, a bit of excitement about Essendon. Obviously, Richmond is Richmond. Good supporter bases here. It's one of the bigger games of the AFL have every year. I think 85 a couple of years ago averages about 70,000 at the G. So I think all those things considered, and you know, if we want to make a statement about what last year's grand final would have looked like, then make it this weekend. Let's make this happen. It's also a little bit more of it than footy, isn't it? The Dreamtime game. So
even
much
the
more than footy.
Spectacle on Saturday night at the Essendon Eagles game pre-match and sitting in the commentary box, just watching it, the light show, it was terrific. And it was, hopefully that's replicated and even expanded.
Oh, it'll look fantastic.
On Saturday night. Bear in mind, it's a long weekend. There's a few factors there that might conspire against that big crowd.
I think the weather, if the weather's dodgy, that's going to hurt them, you know, because it's one of those games where it's going to be your theatre goer game, isn't it? And they're going to say,
for 20,000 anyway, or 25,000.
Yeah, they're going to say, okay, the weather's good, take the kids. That's how you get your numbers up. If they say, oh, it's going to be wet.
It rains at 4 o'clock or something.
I can tell you right now, my kids couldn't keep them away. Yeah. They were really looking forward to the game. So I just want to see something a bit different.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big match. I mean, you think of where these two clubs are at the moment. Tigers scrambled to victory over Adelaide at the weekend. Essendon, wonderful in the second half against the Eagles. There's a real buzz about the Bombers at the moment, given what they did, and some are saying it's a defining match in the club's most recent history. So that says a fair bit about what they feel about the win over the Eagles. And Richmond, well, they have to keep winning to give themselves any hope, really, of getting back there to the top four.
Mm. Well, let's talk about Richmond. Maybe the Biggie Juice juicy topic of the week, brought to you by Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops.
You did that really well. Didn't even read off a prompt on that.
It was all a dream. Juicy topic of the week.
So,
Barry White.
Based on recent form, we're starting to wonder, West Coast, can they contend? Richmond, are either of these teams in danger of missing finals, West Coast and Richmond?
I don't think they are, but I think if anyone is, it's West Coast more likely. I think Richmond will play finals. I was thinking about this the other day. I think Richmond are a real risk of not making top four, but if there's any team that can win it from eighth, I think it's Richmond.
No.
See, I think it is.
I can't buy that. I know we had the Bulldogs a few years ago. They had the week's break and a few things went in their favour. I can't see Richmond, just as we sit now, they're a fair way off the best teams in the comp, in my mind, at the moment. We talk of Melbourne, Brisbane and the Bulldogs.
They are right now, but it's about what you look like in September.
But if you can't get yourself into a position by end of round 23 to be in the top four, it's a pretty tough road.
I guess all I'm saying is what we've seen in Richmond in recent years is that they can defy a lot. And I'm just saying, of the teams I've seen in recent times, we saw the Western Bulldogs do it, a bit of an outlier that year, but, you know, and things fell their way. But if any team can do it, I reckon it would be that Richmond group that really trust in themselves. They would almost like to finish eighth and win it.
So there's almost a couple of pseudo elimination finals coming up for the Tigers. They need to do something to stop Essendon because Essendon is climbing. Mm. Essendon is going to be one of those teams that threaten Richmond's spot at the lower end of the eight. And they're going to have to come back and play. I think they come back and play both our teams here, don't they?
Well, the Eagles on a Thursday night, if all things go ahead as scheduled, that Thursday night game, not saying elimination final, Duff, but I get your meaning here because for both these clubs, there's no wriggle room really for either West Coast or Richmond.
Well, we said last week, didn't we, Eagles don't want to drop a home game.
They've done that.
And they dropped a home game.
Yeah, a lot of East Coasters are making a lot. Look, and don't get me wrong, I love Essendon's list. I think they're young, they're very vibrant, but they're thinking Essendon have arrived. To me, West Coast lost that game at the selection table. Mm. And to me, they left themselves short of run. It was almost a replica of the St Kilda game in round four, where basically, I mean, let's face it, West Coast were dominating St Kilda and then couldn't run, and they were dominating Essendon and then couldn't run.
Do they miss a player like Mark Hutchings, who's played a bit of footy now back in the waffle and had some numbers, a run-with player? They haven't got anyone of that ilk. Do they miss someone of that
stature?
Well,
just a midfielder you can trust. I think the problem for them is, and I actually had Jamie Graham on a radio interview on Saturday morning and asked, are you tall by design or by necessity? And he kind of said, well, it's a bit of both. And I think they don't yet trust their young mids.
No.
And so therefore, if Hutchings is fit, Hutchings is a player they will trust.
When are you going to find out about your young mids, if not now?
Obviously, if I was them, I'd be playing Xavier O'Neill.
Next
5 weeks.
Is this not now the perfectly tailored situation to play them?
Yeah, I would
find out
so.
About them.
But footy departments are funny like this. Like, you've got your line coaches. Your line coaches, you know, their reputations are built on the performance of their particular line, and they don't like playing people they don't think are ready to play. Now, clearly, there are people at West Coast that don't think Xavier O'Neill is ready. They don't think Zane True is ready, which is understandable. Zane True is young. In his first season. Yep. West Coast tend not to throw them to the wolves too much when they're young. But someone like Braden Ainsworth, this is a big half season for Jared Brander, who's in the team, for Xavier O'Neill, who's just out of the team, and for Braden Ainsworth, who was in the team a couple of years ago and has been in and out of the team ever since.
What sort of continuity has Xavier O'Neill had? So in terms of blocks of games, was it two games?
Well, in fairness to West Coast, I think when he had the opportunity to give them the opportunity to pick him, he had a poor game. Mm. So I think he had 24 on the weekend. I think he had 12 the game before that.
Yep.
So that's you're right. That's important in the scheme of things. You wonder, though, if you Xavier O'Neill or Luke Foley or Braden Ainsworth, you're going, okay, Yo's out or Bean out, Shuey's out, Kelly's out. Now, if you're not as part of the next batch of players coming in and they're shuffling the decks around you, where do you sit? So that is the major concern for them as players and also for the club. If they don't have the trust that they're ready to go, particularly Ainsworth and Foley, I suppose, is a bit down the pecking order, but they've got some issues with the midfield depth. That's as simple as that.
Yeah, and even so, Xavier O'Neill averages 14 disposals a game in the AFL. Elliot Yeo had 14 disposals, and he had 7 inside 50s, which basically you could say, well, he was very probing, or you could say, well, he was only going one way. Mm. And I think that's the problem. Like, even if Xavier O'Neill only has 14 disposals, the two-way run he may have been able to give them that Elliot Yeo just wasn't able to give them because he's just not ready. The extra minutes that Xavier O'Neill may have been able to play, those things could have been a factor. In the last quarter, once Essendon hit the front with Stringer's goal, to me it was going to require something almost like a freak occurrence for West Coast to win the game.
You know what they needed? They needed him to put the Superman cape on, and he can't put the Superman cape on at the moment.
He hasn't even got it in the cupboard.
No,
at the
that's right. But that's what they needed.
That's a month away yet.
Yeah.
And if Adam Simpson's right, and they're going to have to manage him all year,
yep.
I think that's, you know, as I wrote in the column, isn't managed minutes for the waffle, not for the AFL, like for a midfielder?
Yeah.
Yeah, and unforeseen circumstances with the two going down. But it did, having just watched Elliot Yeo over the past 2 or 3 months very closely at training and even the vision from him playing in the waffle, you thought, looking good, needs another week. And even he said that on radio. So it's a bit surprising, but look, these guys know their players well, but the result showed that they were left short.
Well, as Simo said, they might have banked on one injury. They didn't bank on two. Yep. But, you know, if you make that selection and you know the guy isn't quite physically there, you leave yourself open to the anomaly event. And they copped an anomaly event.
You know, the concerning thing for me in the second half for the Eagles wasn't so much that they weren't – the appetite of Essendon and then the run. And they were exciting to watch. They look like a team that haven't had that moment in the sun.
But doesn't that happen when you're fresher?
Yeah, it does. But so they should be, Ski. Hmm. So that why shouldn't they be?
No, absolutely. The Eagles just look like a team that, I'm not saying getting old, but they've been
a bit of being there, done that
around the mountain. But you know, got there once.
There's a few there that haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. Just looking at the Eagles at the moment, they lack that. They lack a spark for me. Now, where that comes from, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Like I think we touched on this last week, where for a team, like I still think West Coast best 10 is the best 10 in the comp. I defy anyone to come up with a better best 10 player.
Are they going to get anywhere near the best 10 fully fit this year? They're not, are they?
Probably not. But having said that, over the six-year journey, if the club with the best 10 in the competition has made one preliminary final, now granted they went on and turned that into one of the great premierships, but I don't know. Are they coming up a bit short here, this group of players?
Well, right now, you would say they are. Would you say the 2005-06 crop came up a bit short with one flag? They made preliminary finals, obviously, more than one. But
I can tell you now, the 92-94 group, I think they came up one short as well for the West Coast. They did. They've told me that. Peter Sumich has said to me, I think we came up one short.
You know what? I'm happy with two, though. They're hard to win.
Of course
they are. They're hard to win. I'll take two.
Particularly in that. I mean, there were some ridiculous competition conditions in place.
Yeah, they were.
At that point.
Talking about being nobbled.
It was a handicap event, and they were the top weight. They were carrying 62 kilos over 2 miles.
On a heavy eight at Flemington.
Well, a couple of heavy eights at Windy Hill back in the day, too.
Without the windsock to tell you which way the wind was going.
I was there that day.
Yeah, I think that to answer your question, Duff, if they end up with one premiership in the modern era with the team they had, there'll be a sense of satisfaction, but not
complete. I don't mind. Not complete. To be clear, I don't mind the one premiership. The thing
you
I'm
want
questioning,
more prelims. You want more pointy end stuff.
Like, to me, the pointy end is the preliminary final. Yeah. And to me, to have only been there once since the grand final in 2015, I think they're a bit short.
Mm.
I think. All right. It might be time for everybody's favourite segment, is it?
Ooh, hello, Newman.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Josh's mailbag.
Hello, guys. Sorry to still dust Mike for a second. I know Skeet has to get out of here. Should I set a siren in 3 minutes so you've got time?
You do what you're...
3 minute warning.
Got Dom Sheed's press conference coming up shortly. Any questions you like asked as part of the mailbag?
Maybe why Alex Sheed gave me the wrong tip that he was going to Carlton on a 3-year deal.
Who's Alex? Is Alex his brother?
Yeah. We were about 30 beers deep, but...
Geez, you've just turned him over.
No, just joking. Actually, it wasn't me. It was my friend of mine, but his friend messaged me saying, guys, serious intel. And then the next day, Dom Sheed signed. We got some great emails today. I thought this first one was interesting. We've touched a lot on the West Coast. Fremantle. One kind listener has emailed in and said, you know, if you just put points to where the goals are and goals where the points are, Fremantle actually fourth on the ladder. If you swap it over, it works out the way that it moves them up in such
Talk
a way.
Talk about taking
you
the
know,
piss.
Well, and that's something we should address, Duff, because, you know, what are we going to do about Frio's inaccuracy? You know, one of the, I say saddest with the greatest respect, because I think Nat Fyfe is a terrific footballer, but I felt really sad with that shot he kicked across his body at the weekend. It was a great mark, and I just felt, just really saddened that he had to resort to that. That's where his head. That's where he is at the moment with his goal kicking.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, to sum Freo up on the weekend, the first quarter was the worst quarter of footy they've played under Justin Longmuir. It was flat out horrendous. I thought
40 points down at quarter time.
I thought the second and third quarters were two of the better quarters they played under Longmuir. Strong team on the road. And they had him off the bit.
After quarter time, they lost by 6 points.
But, boys, we've seen this movie before. Yeah, I said it to you at the Gabba. I was with you, Duff. I said, we know what's going to happen here. The Dockers will claw their way back. It was 46 points at the end. Yeah. But they'll get back to within 3 or 4 goals. Fremantle, you're a sympathiser. I hope they go well. But
I do think that at the Gabba, I thought Brisbane put the tools down. And I thought Fremantle got back into this one when the game was still on.
Yes.
And the fact that they they had kicks to go within three kicks in the last quarter tells you that Port Adelaide actually had to look around and find something. So that's okay, but the sting in the tail is that the kicking for goals has now become unacceptable. It is unacceptable. And basically either they fix it between now and the end of the year or someone has to lose their job.
And I don't want to single Fife out because there are other culprits there. Rory Lobb was another. But, you know, when he kicks that, what are they, down? What were they down by when he had that shot?
Well, I think they got to within 21. Okay, so they had kicks to go within three goals.
He takes that mark, great mark, goes back, slots it. But to resort to the kick across the body, miss it, you could see him, the angst on his face. I just think that permeates through your group. It's like if the captain can't even kick one from there, I just would have been a great statement. I would
have loved to have seen one. I was thinking because I was out doing stuff, I thought he'd had a horrendous day in front of goals. Kick two goals, one. But you're right, that image.
Well, that moment just sets you up, doesn't it?
Well, and the problem is if he wants to go around the body, that's fine, but you have to give around the body some thought. He didn't want to think.
Yeah, it was straight away, wasn't it?
He didn't want to think about it. Now, around the body from there means aim at the right goalpost, curl it back, it's a goal. He aimed at the left goalpost, curled it back, it's a point.
Yeah, it was almost as if, let's just get this over with.
Exactly. I don't want to think about this. Yep. I'm going to do this by instinct. This is my best chance.
There it is. 3 minute siren.
Yep. And just have to say apologies last Saturday to Josh, my boss. I turned up at the wrong ground on Saturday morning. The Colts fixture, which was I was supposed to be at Claremont Oval. I rocked up at Leaderville Oval. I saw Peel playing Subi. I thought, hang on, I'm supposed to be doing East Perth and Claremont. So I drove there. But that wasn't my worst moment of the weekend.
What was?
Friday. And serious, this is as true as I live. I left home, my wife said to me, having not completed some tasks around the house, you're an idiot. I said, whatever. Drive. I'm going to a funeral, 10 a.m. A mate of mine, Bruce Williamson, had passed away. 10 a.m., Pinneroo, Friday. I saw in the paper. So I got up there, stood there for maybe a minute or so at 5 to 10. Didn't recognise anybody, but a lady came up to me and said, oh, Mark, good to see you here. And I couldn't see. She had the dark glasses on. She lifted up. Oh, it's Ainsley. I used to work with Russell Goodrick at Channel 9. I said, oh, okay. I said, I'm here for Bruce Williamson's funeral. And I looked. His funeral wasn't on, but I was at Russell Goodrick, a late presenter, his funeral. So I was a week early. The funeral's on this Friday. So I've not only missed the boat on the Colts, but I went to a funeral a week early, right time, right place, wrong week.
Sure, Russell would have appreciated it.
Well, I've got to go again this Friday for Willow, but just shows you, as George Costanza would say, I am Lord of the Idiots.
Congratulations.
Well, it's a huge out. Reddings in Duffield.
Yeah, I get a mad. Sorry for your loss of your friends as well, Skate, before I rip you. But I get this call on Friday, on Saturday, very, very frantic operator of the camera. And then I call Skate and he's like, you wouldn't believe it, mate. I've rocked up at Leadville Oval. It's the wrong place. Jesus. And then went off, but got there on time. It's a fantastic call. Thank you, Skate. Thank Enjoy. You. Guys,
it's a bit of a different podcast today.
It is. It's definitely different.
This is the COVID podcast. We're all over the shop.
We're flexible and agile.
Yeah. That's right. We have an international from Gary from South London. Good spot, South London.
It is a great spot, South
London.
You've
been there, hey?
Shakespeare's Globe and all the rest of it. Ran through it in a marathon, actually.
It's awesome to see Dreamtime at Optus Stadium as central celebration Indigenous round. Noongar country, rather. I believe Stephen Michael and Barry Cable should lead the walk, followed by Michael Long, Gavin Wanganeen and Michael O'Loughlin. Not involving our Noongar legends would be a bit eccentric and somewhat arrogant. What do you guys think?
Agree. Where's the walk going to be from? I know it's going to go over the Matagarup Bridge and into the stadium.
Yeah, they said from the city to the Matagarup. Yeah. But given the city starts the other side of the Matagarup Bridge, that could mean, you know, anywhere from Forest Chase to anywhere down Hay Street to, any of those places.
Oh, it's a great opportunity and, you know, join in if you can.
I used to walk from... When I was covering cricket, I used to walk from the railway station, used to catch the train, and walk down that way to the Wacker. That was fine. It was about a half an hour walk. It was a nice walk in summer.
Of course.
May not be quite as nice in the middle of winter if it's raining on Saturday afternoon.
Raincoats are for Duff.
And umbrellas, yes.
I tell you what, though, it was meant to be raining on Saturday. It wasn't in the end for Eastern West Coast for that much. Guys, now to Melbourne. Matt marooned and morose in Melbourne. Hi, Josh. I hope you've got some difficult to pronounce food lined up for this week's pod. My question is,
Well, I bought the lolly snakes in.
You did, but they're pretty easy to pronounce. My question for the Peanut Gallery is, for all the work that the AFL has done to speed up the game, when will it crack down on players not giving the ball back instantly after a free kick? Dion Prestia had to have a ball wrenched away from him by a Crows player after holding decision allowing the Tigers to stream back and set up. What do you guys reckon?
It's a great email. It's a huge bugbear of mine. And what do they do in the NRL when you have the play the ball, right? If you impede the play the ball process, it's another set of six, right?
Yep.
So what are we trying to do in the AFL with the man on the mark? We're trying to speed the game up. Yet we continue to allow these blatant stoppages of time with players laying over the footy or having it between the legs. I reckon it should be 50 metres. Give the ball back straight away or 50 metres. Just do it. Add that to the game as well and make it even quicker.
The problem with our game, though, is if you throw the ball to the wrong player,
yep,
it can be 50 metres. So, therefore, the player can do this silly little act where he pretends he doesn't know who's getting it. Do we have to sort of say the umpire, if he's there, demands the ball straight away?
Absolutely.
Throw the ball straight to the umpire throws the ball.
Yeah, give the ball to me now.
Yep.
And if you don't, 50 metres.
It is frustrating.
Just do it. And the umpire can determine who it's going to. Don't lay it. It's ridiculous now.
Yeah.
Not even close. The acting is – it's unbelievable, isn't it?
And the best teams are the best at it because they're the best teams at the 1%ers,
yeah,
aren't
yeah.
they?
And then all of a sudden there's numbers behind the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Great email, that one.
Really good email. Some really good ones this week. Now heading to – let's go to Kelmscott quickly. Hello, lads. My name is Liam from Kelmscott, and I'm a first-time writer after discovering the podcast earlier this year. My question is regarding injuries to the young players at Freo. It's too early to be worrying about the future of Freo with the injuries to high draft picks. I'm fairly positive the team's direction overall, but I worry about the high draft picks having too many long-term injuries. Young, Logue, Sturt, and now Chapman have all had very interrupted starts to their careers, and I'm worried that Freo will struggle in the future without getting experience into these young players, especially if the high quality players like Chera and Darcy head elsewhere.
Well, I think, I'm very confident they'll re-sign Darcy. Chera, I reckon, is very much line ball, and the fact that he hasn't signed yet with a really strong offer on the table, I think is, you know, that would be a concern for the club, although they still seem fairly comfortable that they'll get him to the line. And you're right. There's a lot of young talent out of the team. Just on how long we think it takes and how long it really takes. A player that stood up for Essendon in the last quarter on Saturday night, Jaden Laverde.
Mm.
Jaden Laverde's been around for 4 or 5
he
years.
Has.
And then suddenly in quarter four, in round 11 in 2021, Jaden Laverde didn't just look like a player. He looked like a really, really good player.
He was sort of trying to cut his teeth as a forward, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's played everywhere. And they were trying to figure out a role for him, and he was developing his body. And every now and again, he'd show us a glimpse, and you'd think, oh, he's got a bit of talent.
Mm.
And then it never really amounted to much through the course of the season. And then won 3 one-on-ones, I reckon, against Jack Darling.
Mm.
Long kicks down the line. And played a mammoth game.
I'm not discounting what a great effort it was, but if you couldn't get caught up in that surge, you know what I mean? It was infectious almost, Essendon, wasn't it, on Saturday night?
The other bloke I loved, and this bloke's taken a while because he started in the second tier, got drafted to St Kilda, and then St Kilda
thought he was a forward. I know who you're bringing up here, yeah.
Nick Hines.
That's it. What beautiful kick.
3 times in the last quarter, he bit off what other players were too scared to bite off and pulled them off. And even though I don't even know whether they scored from any of them, but they shifted the ball back to their end quickly. And there was no dramas about turnovers through the middle. He found players in space. They got the ball inside 50 quickly.
He's been a great pickup. He's had a good year.
And he's born to play on a halfback flank. Yeah. And St Kilda never played him at halfback.
Yeah. Poor old Saders.
So my point to the correspondent is it does take time.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the email. Andrew, who emails quite a lot from Perth. Hi, Josh. Have they ever missed an opportunity to have an Indigenous Festival of Football in WA this long weekend? What do you guys think? They could potentially move Adelaide v Collingwood fixture and a Blues home game to Optus as well as everything that's already here.
Jesus, a few balls in the air as it is. We can still make the most of this and have a festival of Indigenous football with the Dreamtime game.
I think the thing we need to do this year, given we have an opportunity, is we need to put 40 to 50,000 bums on seats.
Yep.
At Optus Stadium on Saturday night for Dreamtime.
Have to.
And if we do that, we can go to the AFL and we can offer them some options and sort of say, well, we can do this, we can do that. This is the WA Day weekend. It's a big holiday weekend in Western Australia, so therefore people will be able to come to Perth, they'll be able to see these games. I think we can do a lot, but it starts with minimum 40,000 bums on seats at Optus Stadium on Saturday night.
I went to the game Essendon West Coast on Saturday just as a punter, and I was thinking about everything you were saying. About
I heard
you're
a bit fractious.
What?
I heard you were a bit fractious.
I was a bit fractious, yeah. I was getting into the West Coast fans for fun. No, I don't care about any fans.
Very mean,
I don't support
Josh.
Any team. But
they wouldn't do that.
No, when they were leaving it halfway through the fourth quarter around me, I was thinking like, well, I still probably could win this. Anyway, I digress. But I was just thinking what you were saying last week with the lighting and picturing if it wasn't just a run-of-the-mill fixture, the AFL putting money in as well to up it, I really think it would be quite amazing what they can do to start this thing.
Well, it just – the ability to light the roof in colours in for a night fixture, everyone goes, oh, big deal, set of lights. But it just adds so much to the atmosphere.
It's not just the stadium. It's the precinct. It's the Matagorut Bridge. It's the casino in the background.
Casino.
No, but I'm just saying.
Great Indigenous landmark.
Well, it was built on Indigenous land, up.
Yes, it was, yes.
What I'm saying is forget about – it's the lighting of the – it's a beautiful precinct, isn't it? At night. If you go over to Gloucester Park now on a Friday night and look across.
Oh, it's magnificent.
But it's all lit up. Yeah, it's a beautiful vista. Yeah. So I think the aerial shots on whatever they can provide – I mean, there'll be people over in the east in states and you're right, let's hope we get 40 to 50 there. There'll be people watching this going, wow, geez, I want to check that joint. I'm getting over there at some stage. So all we need is a couple of big luxury boats parked up there on the Swan. That would be nice too.
Yeah, and even if we can't pull it off where we're getting something like, you know, a Dreamtime match again, because let's face it, Essendon and Richmond are going to want to go back to the MCG,
of course,
when they can.
As they should, yeah.
But our clubs should be starting to say, okay, what can we do? And maybe do something like West Coast did last weekend, maybe a derby, maybe something like that, on WA Day weekend and have a massive occasion. And not just the people who are in the stadium, but people around the stadium and that sort of thing. Make it a real, an absolute hum of a place.
Why don't they do that? The Canfield obviously puts up a big screen, but that's a licensed venue. Why don't they do something like Rod Laver Arena during the tennis and just chuck up a screen as well?
I think it's probably the squeaky wheel doesn't get the oil.
Right.
Our clubs tend to be fairly financially sound. Yeah. West Coast is the richest club in the AFL with daylight second. And Fremantle, despite coming off a series of poor years, the shift to the new stadium, has still pretty much broken even. I think they've lost a bit some years when they've had payouts, but basically they're still okay. When you're okay, you tend not to try as hard. If you can make ends meet without trying harder, you tend not to try as hard, and you deny yourself these special occasions, I think.
Just one last one from me before we go. I was at the West Coast South Fremantle game on the weekend. Matty Parker just absolutely destroyed the West Coast Waffle side. Is that anything to go by, or are they that below the level of a experienced Waffle side? And then second to that, every AFL prediction of the mid-season draft I've seen written online has one WA player in it. Is this a factor of Victoria-centric, or is it because of this double draft here or whatever?
Don't forget that unless our local teams take players, you're looking at shifting a player over the other side of the country maybe for 6 months.
The money involved sort of thing.
So I think there's an element of, are we doing the right thing by the player if we rip him away from his hometown, rip him away from his second-tier club? A lot of their second-tier clubs are in contention because they're the players that put them in contention. And then we dump him at the end of the year because we can't find a spot for him on our list. I think there's a feeling about that. I know I've spoken to two or three clubs who are worried about that with certain players in the WAFL. They don't want to rip them out, take them to the other side of the country, and then dump them at the end of the year. So I think the opportunity probably has to come from one of the WA clubs. Fremantle not participating, West Coast only deciding to participate last night.
Yeah, I didn't even consider that, so thank you for that. That's all for today. Thank you for all the emails, and remember to get them in before Thursday.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Sorry for being late. I hope to be on time. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Please get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch. Please gamble responsibly and call the Gamblers Helpline on 1800 858 858 if you have any difficulties. We'll be back on Thursday to talk you through the round, including Dreamtime in Perth.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you send a message to Josh's mailbag? Have you figured out how to fix footy? Are you trying to settle a debate with a mate? Or maybe you just want two of Australia's most experienced footy journalists to turn their attention to an AFL issue of the week. Send to the mailbag at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. And also remember to like, subscribe, and of course, tell your mates so we can make this as big and as good as possible. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know